It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. Great pleasure to be with you. This is the Larry Kudlow Show, and you can hear us, by the way, Fox Business Network, every day, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. And if you can't get us at 4, you can text your favorite 9-year-old. She'll show you how to DVR the show. You never miss one, 4 to 5, Fox Business. And here you can live stream us on the internet, LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com. Hear us all across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system, including the Milky Way. And we're going to do some stock market work for the next half hour. And not a pretty picture this week, the worst week in a year. Dow's off 921 points, the S&P down 81. NASDAQ actually only down 73, not so bad. But the big story, interest rates are rising in the market. 10-year up to 4.5%. Fed funds rate is still 550. Doesn't look like they're going to cut rates in my lifetime. Gold prices booming. Commodity prices booming. J.P. Morgan came in light, worried about the spread between the cost of money and the return on money. That's the inverted yield curve. Oil prices, let's see, Brent crude, $90, maybe a threat from the Middle East with Iran, maybe not. Anyway, let's go to our expert, Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist at Hightower Advisors and Head of Investment Solutions, and Kenny Polcari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. All right, Stephanie, what happens next?
Well, I know we're all not feeling great about last week, but we are actually only down 2.5% from the highs, and we're up 7% year to date, and we're up 33% in the last 16 months. So we've had a nice run. You know this just as well as I, as does Kenny, that the long-term total return for the S&P 500 is 7.7%. So we've had a good run, and now we have issues. And the market obviously doesn't like the issues. It is hotter inflation. It is all of a sudden everybody recalibrating the rate cuts for the year. And, of course, you have these unknowns about the geopolitical issues. And, you know, we can talk about the banks, if you like, later on. But, yes, they were underwhelming results, but J.P. Morgan was up 44% from the October low. And anybody that really knows banks knows that the yield curve, it was going to be impossible for them to actually exceed on net interest income and net interest margin. It just is impossible. But I thought we can talk about this as well. Some of the commentary from about the economy and the consumer from J.P. Morgan's CEO, very optimistic. So we have puts and takes in the market. But I would say one last thing. I would, you know, we step back and say, why do we have elevated inflation, and how, you know, the Fed got it wrong again in terms of how much they want to cut and how much they can cut. Why is it? It's because the economy, we're at a nominal GDP of 6%. The economy is strong. And that, to me, is important only for the fact that that feeds into earnings. And I think earnings are going to be pretty good, about 8 to 10% this year.
Well, that's a good number. You know, you're in the camp. Yardeni, I think, agrees with you on that. Good earnings. But on the other hand, Ken Polcari, inflation is a stealth tax in the middle of the night. And the Fed, God bless the Fed, you're running now the last 3 months. The CPI is about 4.5% at an annual rate. We'll see if that stays, but I don't see any rate cuts. There'll be no rate cuts in my lifetime. In fact,
I don't see,
the fun part of this, is that I'm more and more in the camp that the next rate move is higher, not lower. Probably wait till after the election. But I just love these futures markets. They moved it from March to June. Now it's September. Right. Yeah, sure. Mañana.
But, you know, I'm in your camp. I was never in the camp that we were going to see multiple rate cuts. To me, it seemed illogical, especially when I think Jay Powell has done, I think, a very good job of trying to keep the market at bay, remaining data dependent, never committing to anything other than, you know, the ridiculous dot plot thing in November that showed, you know, potentially there were some members of the Fed that thought rates could be lower in 2024. And suddenly that turned into a 7 rate cut narrative, which I never understood where that came from. And they took stocks higher, and it was always confusing to me. But now I think you're right. Now we've seen 3 months of, you know, kind of month over month increasing inflation, which is what you and I and Stephanie have talked about on prior shows, that that's what we were all concerned about. And now it seems to be coming to life. So I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be a rate cut in June, July, August. Well, it won't be August anyway. But now they're pushing it out till September, which I think is really ridiculous, considering that's about 6 weeks ahead of the presidential election, which would be very difficult for Jay Powell to convince the country that right now in September, we need to cut rates because the economy is falling off the edge. It is not. To your point, the economy is strong, and it's going to continue to remain strong. I don't see how it's going to fall off the edge in the next 3 months. I just don't see it. So therefore, I'm in your camp. I think that there's no rate cut, and there is the potential for an increase if inflation continues to advance in the months ahead.
Joe Biden.
Hello, Larry.
Joe Biden thinks Larry. There's a rate cut coming.
Yeah, well,
Larry,
he said so twice last week. How's his track? Right. How's his track record on that? He said that. Yeah, he said he wasn't. He said actually it was very modest of him. He said he wasn't quite sure which month, but he knew it was coming.
Right.
He couldn't get a job as a Fed watcher. I'm sorry. I don't want to be disrespectful. He's the only president we have at the moment. Anyway, Stephanie, you were going to say.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I obviously, the last mile of inflation is we're seeing it's hard to get down. But if you look at the CPI, 35% of the weighting is shelter. And that number was up 5.7% last month. And that really skewed, in addition to car insurance services, which was up 22%. I don't know how car insurance stays as high as it is with car prices now starting to come down. But if you look at the PPI, it's not, you know, it's a lot tamer, if you will. Like headline was 2.1, core was 2.4. And there's more inputs from PPI that go into core PCE, which is what the Fed looks at. So we're making progress. I know it's kind of stubbornly high, but we are making progress. I mean, remember that peak number of CPI was 9.1%. So I just think that we're kind of all obsessing about it. And by the way, if the Fed cuts once, twice, three times, if they raise once, I don't think it's going to have a meaningful impact because you have this enormous fiscal stimulus that's still in the system, right, which is offsetting all these things that the Fed's trying to do.
Yeah, that's.
Can I just say one thing about insurance that you bring it up? Because my car insurance is about to renew in May. And my Allstate agent called me yesterday to say to me, here's what's happening. My insurance is expected to go up another $250 when it renews. I go, why? She said, because the insurance company said that you're driving 19,000 miles a year. I said, how do they know that? They said, because of your oil change service at the Infiniti dealer where I bring my car, they have access apparently that information, and they're looking at my mileage between oil changes, and they're estimating what I drive every year. And because of that, my rate's going up.
You know what the insurance rate is? The increase in car insurance for an electric vehicle in the first quarter was over 20%. At an annual rate for an EV, just in case you were thinking about an EV.
They're expensive to repair.
Yes, they are. They're dangerous, and they're expensive to repair. By the way, on the other thing, a CPI, Jay Powell, Chairman Powell, has his favorite, I don't know what this means, core services excluding rents. All right. So the last 3 months, 8.2%. At an annual rate. He ought to double the Fed funds rate. 8.2, for God's sakes. I mean, I don't understand these numbers. Right. I'm glad I don't have to do all that for a living anymore. Just I can make fun of it. But these are not good numbers. There's no two ways. The other thing that's interesting to me is gold prices rising. Now, I've argued that gold peaked in 1980 in real terms. I think you may be crossing that, but I haven't looked at a good chart. I'll do a good chart. But gold prices going up and these commodity indexes are also going up.
Yes.
So that's a sign that money is easier than you think, which is another little piece of the inflation puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
You know, you put $8 trillion in fiscal stimulus into the economy. You know, it you know this best of all. It takes years to get into the economy. So you might have started all this thing in 2020, but it takes two, three, 4 years. And we just put in place an infrastructure package of $2.5 trillion last year, which hasn't even entered into the system.
Has not even hit yet.
That's right. That's exactly right. So it makes Powell's job really hard because they're trying to do something from a traditional basis, which has worked historically. But this is a different situation.
My favorite was the Inflation Reduction Act, which will increase spending by about $1 trillion. No kidding. The Penn-Wharton model. Even CBO is catching up. There are no limits to the subsidies and the credits to buy an EVs and batteries and so forth. A lot of that helped China too, but that's another $1 trillion that's still moving into the system. And the deficit is about $1 trillion for the first half of fiscal 24. So, you know, you're going to have a lingering inflation problem. The question, Stephanie, is you'll have winners and losers in the stock market because of that, won't you?
Well, yes. And I would say that, again, a lot of the inflation is being obviously helped by the fiscal, what we just talked about. But it's also that the economy is above trend. It's about 2.4% is the Atlanta Fed tracker now. And last year we grew 3.4%. In that kind of an environment, I think, and with rates staying higher for longer, I don't think you want to be overweight long duration assets, which means growth and tech. You can own some, of course, but I think some of these other sectors, and Kenny and I've been talking about this for a while, some of these other sectors, more cyclical sectors, we've actually seen a broadening out in the overall market. If you look at since November, the S&P 500 market cap weighted is up about 23.9%, but the S&P 500 equal weighted is actually almost up about the same, 22.5%. So that gap has narrowed substantially. That just means people are less inclined to be buying and aren't buying Mag 7 as much as they're buying everything else.
Right. They're buying the boring stuff, right? But the boring stuff that's not sexy, but yet it gives you exposure and there's sectors that have underperformed.
That's where the value is, especially if earnings are coming in.
I got to take a break, but what's the best index to watch nowadays?
I like the equal weight because, to Stephanie's point, it makes everything equal, and so it shows you where the money. I think shows you where the money's going. To that point, it's broadening out for sure. So I think that's a good one to watch.
Is that the S&P equal weight?
SPW is the Bloomberg symbol.
And what'd that do this past week?
I'm not in front of my Bloomberg. It probably came under pressure, certainly yesterday with the market, but. Overall, I think it's been holding its own, right? I think it's up. I think it was up for the year close to 10%. Stephanie, was that about right or no?
Yes, it is. I also look at the Russell 1000 growth versus the Russell 1000 value because that spread has been super wide in growth over value, and it's starting to narrow in a big way. So it kind of goes a little bit more granular in terms of what's actually working.
I do think, and you're correct, though, Stephanie, in the long run, stocks are still the best investment.
Right. Yeah.
I still believe that. Let's take a quick break. Stephanie Link is Chief Investment Strategist at Hightower Investors Advisors, Head of Investment Solutions, and Ken Polcari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. I'm Kudlow, and Joe Biden's not a good Fed watcher. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Stop.
ED is no laughing matter. This could be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276 or ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking stocks with Stephanie Link from Hightower Advisors and Investment Solutions and Ken Paul Carey from Case Capital Advisors and Slate Stone Wealth. Stephanie, let's talk about banks for a minute. One of them, yes, the net interest is coming in slower, according to Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan. That's your inverted yield curve, of course.
Yes.
I'm amazed it took this long. Wanted to ask about that, but I also want to ask about the issue of commercial real estate. I don't see calamities. I mean, we had one a year ago, and the Fed covered it pretty well. But there's a lot of talk about commercial real estate. What do you think?
No question about it, but I don't think it's the big six that are going to have a problem. I do think it's some of the community banks, the regional banks. That's what we're seeing. We have been seeing that. Some of the failures we've seen in the past year was tied to a little bit of that. But I do think that the biggest of the big six, Wells Fargo has the most exposure to commercial real estate, 16% of their book, but only 3% is office. And only 1% is B and C office. So that's why I say, like, we got to really get granular with office space and the grades. And so I don't think the big six have it. I mean, and by the way, pretty much no one on Friday, anyway, of the three banks that reported, no one really even talked about it. Wells did only because everybody knows that they have the most exposure, but they have it under control. I would watch out for the regional banks. I think that they are losing market share left, right, and center, and I would not be involved in them. J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and Citibank on Friday all had problems with net interest income. It just shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, anybody really knows how to invest in banks, you have to look at where the yield curve is.
Right.
Why you can invest in some of these banks, though, is because they're diversified into capital markets, into investment banking, and IPOs. And Jamie Dimon had a lot of good things to say about the pipeline of IPOs really starting to flourish. And so, you know, you want to own diversification, and that's where I think it is. The only thing is it's expensive. JP is expensive, and it was up a lot. So was Wells Fargo. So was Citi into the print. So let it digest and see if you can find some opportunities.
Ken Paul Carey, I give you the last minute on banks and the inverted yield curve, because – that makes bank investing much tougher.
Yeah, it does. But I think to Stephanie's point, the big banks are not necessarily going to be the ones that people should be concerned about. It'll be further down the scale. But the other thing I think that people need to understand is that there's going to be in that supposed disaster, there's going to be a lot of opportunities. You see all the big firms, all the big asset managers, Blackstone and Kayne Anderson, they're all raising multi-billion-dollar funds because they see this as a potential opportunity. So, the crash and the explosion that I think a lot of people are expecting, I don't think is going to come. But to that point, if you're looking to invest in the banks, I think the big six are the place to be. J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, my favorite, but the regional I'd be
careful. All right. Thanks, kids. Ken Paul Carey and Stephanie Link, we appreciate it very much.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.